From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you, and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we're going to commence doing something a little different in the broadcast, and I think for the next few months this will be a blessing from the Lord to you. We're going to have a daily devotional in addition to the sermon, and after the devotional we're going to have what I'll call a thought for the day. Today we're thinking of Abraham, as he's described in Romans 4:20, as strong in faith. We read he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Faith is ever engaged in a war. There are enemies which daily oppose this grace in a Christian's life. Now, the two greatest enemies with which our faith must contend are feelings and human reasoning. Indulging in either of these is dangerous for the believer. They will attack the very vitals of our hope and confidence in the Lord. Is it not true that when the Lord tests your faith with respect to some promise, your feelings tell you that His word will not be fulfilled to you? And does not your human reasoning tell you that the promise cannot be fulfilled? But consider Abraham. Paul said he staggered not at the promise. Literally, it reads, he was not in strife with himself. In other words, there was no battle going on in Abraham's heart as to whether or not God would fulfill his promise to him. Furthermore, we read that he considered not his own body now dead. Again, human reasoning told him that this promise couldn't be fulfilled to a man 99 years old. But this man, against hope, believed in hope. The question is, how did he do it? The answer is found in verse 21 of Romans 4. You see, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform. In other words, Abraham looked to the character of God. He knew that the God who made such a promise was no liar, but that he had power to fulfill his word. Tell me, how fares your faith today? Do you feel the Lord's word will not hold good for you? Have you reasoned yourself into a dungeon of depression? Then look away from yourself. Look to Him who cannot lie, and hence who must fulfill His own word by the sheer arm of omnipotence. Strong in faith. And here's a thought for the day from Thomas Watson, the great Puritan. Where reason cannot wade, there faith may swim.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Thee more.
It's good to have you with us today, and I hope that you've been enjoying the program. I hope also that you'll take advantage of the various resources that we try to make available to you here in Let the Bible Speak. They're yours free of charge if you simply let us know that you'd like to have them. Let me highlight four of them. First, for all who need help regarding the way of salvation and the first steps of the Christian life, we have my booklet, A New Beginning. Second, for those who wish to know more about the beliefs and stand of the Free Presbyterian Church, we have the booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Then we have our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, and finally, our monthly Let the Bible Speak tape or CD, a sort of a devotional and instructional magazine on tape or compact disc. Now here's something special. For some time, we have been studying the Law and the Ten Commandments here on Let the Bible Speak, and we're approaching the end of that series. As we do so, we're offering the book that I wrote as a result of the original messages. It's titled Chariots of God, and it's a 300-page in-depth study of the subject. If you've enjoyed the radio messages, then I'm sure you'll enjoy the book as well. While our stocks last, we're offering this book, Chariots of God, A Study of the Law of God, a book that retails for $15, we're offering it free of charge to those of you who request it. Now, if you'd like to receive any or all of these resources, you should write to us or call. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number for those who wish to call us is 866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you.
Peace like a river is flooding my soul. Since Christ my Savior maketh me whole. Sweet peace abiding, my portion shall be. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. Precious to me. Precious is He. Jesus shall ever be precious to me. Joy is abounding, my heart gaily sings. Cleave I the heavens, mount up on wings. Christ hath exalted my soul, He set free. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. Precious to me. Precious. precious is He. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. Precious Jesus, how lovely Thou art. Come and abiding, rule in my heart. Break every fetter, Thy face let me see, then Thou shalt ever be precious to me. Precious to me, precious is He. Jesus shall ever be precious to me.
A few verses from God's Word in the book of Romans, chapter 13. We'll start reading at verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to this reading from His own precious word for His name's sake. In our continuing study of the law of God, we come in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus to the 8th of the 10 commandments. It's found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. And it simply says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Despite its simplicity and its extreme brevity, the 8th commandment opens up for us an entire volume of biblical ethics. As with the other commandments, and we have noted this from time to time in our study of them, what is stated negatively lays down a positive law that binds the consciences of all men and that will constitute the standard of divine judgment when men stand before their God. Now, this simple commandment lays down what many may consider to be a revolutionary principle. I'll put it like this. When you think of these words in their scriptural connection, thou shalt not steal, it is teaching us that all business and all financial matters, as well as all personal attitudes to all earthly possessions, must be regulated by the law of God. Now, too many people have the idea that religion is for church. Somehow or other, there are two worlds. There's the real world out there, and then there's the world of church. The idea has actually been transferred into concrete practice that it's all right to be sounding ever so religious and upright and moral in church, but that doesn't really work in the outside world. The idea is that Christian ethics don't really touch the business world. That religion is somehow entirely otherworldly, and certainly not this worldly. But this is all a very, very grave and terrible mistake. And let me put it to you in the simplest possible terms. If a man's religion is not good enough to live by, it is certainly not good enough to die by. And if it's not good enough to live by and to die by, it is certainly not good enough to stand before God with. So, what we believe is not just for church. This is very particularly true in this 8th commandment. This is a commandment that gets right down into the trenches of this world's occupations with us. It speaks to us very clearly about property. It speaks to us about money. It speaks to us about our attitude to those things, toward their acquisition and their use. And it asserts the sovereignty of God over our property and our money, how we get them and how we use them. Now, I think when you look at it, nobody can be in any doubt that the 8th commandment has to do with the sanctity and the safety of our neighbor's property. This is a commandment that has a whole lot to say about the rights of property and the right way and the wrong way to acquire property in this world. But he who looks at this commandment and sees only a law that governs property and commercial matters is blind indeed to some of the very far-reaching applications that the Bible itself makes of the 8th commandment. In studying this passage of Scripture, I went back to the larger catechism, but it's a wonderful exposition of these words, thou shalt not steal. The larger catechism deals first with what the 8th commandment requires. The duties required in the 8th commandment are truth, faithfulness, and justice. Those are three great words, by the way. Truth, faithfulness, and justice in contracts and commerce between man and man. Rendering to every man his due. Restitution of goods unlawfully retained from their rightful owners. Giving and lending freely according to our abilities and the necessities of others. Moderation of our judgments, wills, and affections concerning worldly goods. A provident study. That's an old-fashioned way of the word provident is the word that gives us providence. It is foresight. It is a provident study. Is a wise preparation to get, to keep, to use, and to dispose of these things which are necessary and convenient for the sustenance of our nature. A lawful calling, that is, a lawful occupation and diligence in it. Frugality, avoiding unnecessary lawsuits, suretyship, and other such engagements. and an endeavor by all just and lawful means to procure, preserve, and further the wealth and outward estate of others as well as our own. Now those are just the duties that are positively enacted. And I should say that every line of this long statement of duty has a multiplication of proof texts from the Word of God. Now, as to the sins forbidden in the statement, thou shalt not steal, the sins forbidden in the eighth commandment, besides neglecting the duties required, are theft, robbery, man-stealing, receiving anything that's stolen, fraudulent dealing, false weights and measures, removing landmarks, injustice and unfaithfulness in contracts between man and man or in matters of trust, oppression, extortion, usury, bribery, vexatious lawsuits, another old-fashioned form of words, unjust enclosures. The reference there is to seizing and appropriating lands unjustly to our own use, depopulations, that is, dispossessing people of their homes for our own self-aggrandizement, engrossing commodities, which in modern English means artificially creating a shortage in order to enhance the price, unlawful callings or illicit occupations, and all other unjust and sinful ways of taking or withholding from our neighbor what belongs to him. And then it goes on to investigate the attitude that lies behind these things and say that such an attitude is prohibited. Now, you will see from that the simple little commandment, thou shalt not steal, is actually one that is very, very far-ranging in its meaning and in its application. And from all that I have said thus far, I think I can establish that the theme of the eighth commandment in the Word of God is that of maintaining honor and honesty. Notice the two words. Maintaining honor and honesty in safeguarding our own rights and the rights of others. Now, as we come to discuss that, I will set your mind at rest and say that I have only 3 points. Of course, I have about 30 points under each one of the three, but we'll not get into that at the moment. I have only 3 points. And the first is the principles the eighth commandment expounds. This is a commandment that's based on very certain scripture principles. As you read this commandment, you will discover that there are many scripture texts that shed light upon it. Let me give you a couple of examples from the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24, the Apostle Paul writes, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth or welfare." We read tonight in Romans 13, 7, "Render therefore unto all their dues." Tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom. So you'll see that even the government gets in here. And we are not allowed to steal from them, as we'll see in a moment. Custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. The owe no man anything actually has nothing to do with what many people quoted in support of, the idea that it is never allowable for a Christian to borrow, whether finance or anything else. It's never allowable for a Christian to borrow. That is not what it's talking about. It is saying that we must always ensure to give to every man that which is due to that man. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Romans 12:17 sums it all up very beautifully. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now these are scriptures that all begin to expound on the simple commandment, thou shalt not steal. And as we consider them, we will be able to lay bare some of the principles upon which the commandment is based. Let me mention four of them. First principle is the recognition of property rights. This is a commandment that recognizes that what a man justly possesses is his by divine right.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.